Welcome to another Gaslit podcast. I'm your host, Sean, and I'll be hosting this podcast today. We're going to do it on vitiation, which is a term we use for boiler flues or combustion, I should say. But first of all, I want to say a massive thank you to everyone. Today is Monday the 2nd. I'm recording this podcast ready for tomorrow being Tuesday the 3rd to be released at 6 a.m. I checked out the feed spot. They do like a top 35 of podcasts, and I checked it out, and today I got I saw that we're in the top 10. We're the 10th plumbing podcast in the UK. I like to think about in the universe, but probably just the UK. But so thank you very much indeed for everyone for listening. Everyone that subscribes, everyone that clicks on the little links I put on the social media. So thank you very much indeed, everyone, for doing that. But first of all, before we get into the podcast, here's my friend Sean to tell you all about the podcast and why we do it. Thank you for listening to another Gaslit podcast, the show to help DIYers, new people into the industry, and those who are wanting to expand their knowledge. Each week we'll pick a topic and go into details, and with special guests and listeners' questions answered, we will look forward to some of the conversations. So let's get back to the show. Right, so there we are, vitiation. So on boilers, room-sealed boilers, we'll go into the other ones in a bit, but room-sealed boilers, which is our standard boiler we have in our home, been made in the last 20, 30 years. It takes the air from the outside, and the flue has got two walls to it. You've got the outer side and then like an inner flue. So it comes on out of the, sorry, comes in on the inner flue, and then comes into the combustion box part of the boiler, and it comes into there and then gets drawn up by the fan, and then the flue gases or the products of combustion, the POCs, go out the centre of the flue, and that's the smaller diameter in the centre, and it blows itself out. And if it's a condensing boiler on a cold day, you can see that steam material flying out because it's cooler, it comes flying out. But that's a twin-walled concentric flue, typically around about 100 mil in diameter. Normally got a white outside and a little black bit on the end. You know, some of the valence are white, but typically that's your sort of standard setup there. So what vitiation is when the clean air for combustion that comes in and everything's built around the clean air coming in is contaminated. And when it's contaminated, it then goes back through the combustion cycle. And as it goes through, the dirty air goes through the combustion and gets even more dirty on the exhaust gas on the products of combustion. And then if it comes back in again, it's even dirtier, producing even more dirtier fumes. And when we start talking about the fumes, we start really talking about CO, carbon monoxide. Yes, we can get the carbon dioxide, but it's the carbon monoxide levels that we're looking for on boiler flue gas analysing. So, and we can get that through for a couple of ways, really. Obviously, we can have, which I had this week, we had some foliage that had overgrown the flue terminal, and it was a bunch of ivy. It was a bit of a complicated job, but it was all the ivy up the side of the house had grown over the flue, but the flue was sort of only accessed from a neighbour, so that got a little bit tricky with trying to get access and neighbourly disputes and all the rest and bits and pieces, which is not, it's not our fight and it's not what we get involved with. But we want to make sure what is there historically was installed, is installed in, it's safe. So all this ivy grown up, I've seen it before where someone's lent a piece of wood up and it's quite low down the flue, and they've lent a piece of timber up in the garden and it's against the flue tip. So as the gases are come flying out the centre of the flue, they're getting drawn straight back in again. They haven't got that clearance to be able to dissipate into the environment and it gets sucked back in. So that's one way we can get the vitiation. Another way is if we get the flue starting to break down in the flue seals or the flue components. So inside the boiler flue, the inside flue will go into some little rubber seals and gaskets, and usually they're really, really reliable. They're all built to a really high standard and high tolerance, but sometimes these things are under stress or super old, or they've been modified, or when you've cut the inner flue, you haven't put the little chamfer on it with the hand file and got rid of all the burrs properly, and when it goes in, it can damage the rubber seal a little bit as it pushing in and locating. So if you've got anything sort of on those sort transport lines, it can leak flue gases into the airway and you can't actually see it. So one of the things we have to do when we're doing gas checks is we do a quality of the air, and there'll be a test point on the boiler where we can monitor the air as it's going in. You will see it on the CO parts per million, the PPMs. That'll be so obvious because the numbers will rocket up, sort of 400, 500, 600, you know, over 1,000. Where we're looking normally for a sort of a decent make boiler, your Valence and your Worcesters and your Baxies, well, you know, your maximum levels are really about less than 100. You start looking at your Alphas and your Ideals, you're starting to look at over 100 but less than 200, and your Volcaras and stuff like that, your cheaper end, they can go up a little bit on the higher side, still within tolerance, still within what the manufacturers say, but certainly when you've got a bit of vitiation, whew, that flies off the scale. So what we do is we go back to our chemistry days. We know that within the air that's around us, we have around 79% of that is nitrogen. 78-79% is nitrogen, and less than 21%, normally about 20.9, is actually made up of oxygen. So we have more nitrogen than oxygen in our environment is what we breathe, and the rest is made up of argon and some other little tiny impurities that make up what we breathe as an air. And relatively clean air that we breathe, not in the centre of London and all the smog and all the bits and pieces, is actually, you know, absolutely fine for us humans, and we've adapted over the years and we can deal with it. But as soon as you start mixing that down inside the boiler, we then do another test on it at 20.9. We can then see those numbers starting to plummet, and we can see them down, and they'll be in the single digits, your threes and fours, if you've got vitiation, because the dirty air is coming back in and mixing, and it's this ever downward spiral of air quality that comes down. The CO numbers rocket up, and the oxygen level within the air absolutely plummets down. So you can, it's really obvious, you do both tests, but you can see if it's absolute, one's fine, the other one will be fine, and if one's off, the other one will be off. But it's a good way to see if your CO is really, really high. You do then your air intake, oh, it's my phone beeping, you do your air intake and your oxygen levels, just to prove the vitiation isn't causing that, and it's something else to do with the combustion process. But vitiation is dirty air coming back into combustion, and that's on a room sealed boiler. So where we can get on boilers, we can start getting a little bit on the spicier side of things. If we've got an open flue boiler, so it's a very old boiler, typically floor standing. I have seen a few wall hung, like early, I think it was a Baxi Solo, when I'd done a quote, and it had a big draft diverter on the top. And I was like, well, I've not seen one of those before. Thinking someone had modified the flue, but Yeah, it was an early wall hung boiler from Baxi, but or Potterton or whatever the make was, was a little while ago. But typically these are your old floor standing boilers, your old Kingfishers and stuff like that. And in around the back, they'll actually draw the air in. And we've got a job going at the minute where the customer was saying about it was a bit fumey and a bit smelly, as it was. From the boiler, it smelled. And so when we've had these windy days that we did have last week before, where we had these high winds, the wind can come down the flue, and typically these go up a chimney, the wind comes whipping down and blows the flue gases back down the chimney, back down the flue, and it has a draft diverter, and it doesn't go back into the boiler, but it blows the products of combustion out of the sides. And that is okay in very, very small quantities. That's why we always recommend, if you've got an open flue boiler, you have a CO alarm, a carbon monoxide alarm to hand. And if it does get like that and it does start chirping, to turn the boiler off in high winds in that environment. But typically these things have got pilot lights and they'll get blown out in the night and all that sort of capers. But we don't really get that with our room seal boilers. And another thing to think about on the boiler side is if you've got your flue, we actually had it. It was a small commercial, and the boiler flue actually was in like a semi-basement. Boiler flue went out quite high, but when I went the other side, it was like an alleyway. It looked like some out of EastEnders. And they had like these arches, railway arches, and they had like a moped repair garage. And what was happening was the boiler flue was a best part knee height. It had a little cage on it. But there were running motorbikes next to the boiler flues. So as the exhaust gases of the engines were pumping away in this like alleyway, it was then being sucked into the boiler. So then we was getting massive levels of CO because it was bringing dirty air into the environment. And then the CO alarm inside the building was going off because there was an air brick further down, and all the gases were then coming in and setting the CO alarm off. There was no interlock system on that one there. I'm not quite sure how they got it resolved, but we did have a few call outs. And it was like, we've got a motorcycle garage on the repair side. So that can cause the high levels of CO. The boiler itself didn't shut down with the high levels of CO. Because it's all room sealed, if there was a problem, like there was, it was just spewing the stuff out into the alleyway to disperse into the atmosphere. If you would have had an issue with the case seal being leaking or the boiler flue leaking on top of the boiler, that is when you start getting CO leaking into the building. So on a modern boiler, we don't really see it that often. You need a couple of issues for that to start causing a problem. But if you ever do smell flue gases, first thing you do is turn your boiler off. But that the dirty air side can really cause problems with vitiation. We did have a customer, I serviced their boiler up on the estate where I lived a couple of years ago, and inside the boiler up on the venturi, so the air comes inside the box and there's a fan then draws the air up from inside the combustion box and it takes it up and into the venturi, and it was an ideal, so it drew it up past the injector, and the injector was sticky and brown like tar. And I was like, what's going on here? We normally get a few, yeah, like funny little bits built up on the little alley injector, and you sort of rub them off with the wire wall and they make them shine up, and it's all lovely. Sometimes the brass. And she said, oh, we've got a barbecue underneath the boiler flue. So what was happening was, obviously running the barbecue typically in the summer, you're not running the heat in, but someone goes and puts the hot tap on, up fires the combi boiler, and they're there doing their burgers and sausages and what goodness knows what else, and all the smoke's coming up as it's then sucking in the smoke of the barbecue was then being drawn into the boiler, and that would give some really, really high CO readings as well at the time. But we found, you know, all the sticky residue inside the boiler around the venturi, and got that all cleaned up, and then advised them to move the barbecue for subsequent years after that. So that's just another way we could get high CO readings. Obviously, that, you know, barbecue only used a couple of times a year, you would never have found that out, but it was just on the stickiness side of the flue. Another thing to think about is open flue appliances, like your gas hob, your gas cookers. They don't have they're flueless, so they you know, you don't have a flue that takes it off so you can see the blue flame on there. And if you start getting dirty air coming in, if you're a car garage and you've got someone revving a car out in the door for whatever reason and it comes through, then it's designed to draw in clean air from around itself for the combustion. And if you start putting dirty air into it, you'll start seeing flame lifting. It's going orange and it really doesn't like it. It's licking, it's lifting, it's going all over the show. Anything other than the textbook beautiful blue flame, anything other than that, it's not burning off all the hydrocarbons adequately, and it will start producing high levels of CO and soot as well. You won't get that from a blue flame really. If you had like an old saucer on a blue flame on the hob, briefly hold it over the top and have a look. But if you had a yellow flame and did exactly the same, like over a lighter or over a candle, you'll get all black soot, and that's the hydrocarbons that haven't burnt off completely. Complete and properly. But I'll run through that with another episode anyway about hydrocarbons. So I just want to talk to you about the vitiation side and the blocking of the flue gases, as we had this recently. So once again, thank you very much indeed for listening. If you want to be a guest on the show, if you've got any questions that you want answered, anything you want explained, give me an email at podcast@gaslec.com. Net. And once again, thank you very much indeed for listening, guys, and all of your little viewing figures and your subscribing on the different platforms do really make a difference. And now we're in the top 10. I'm super chuffed. It's only taken us, what, this is episode 31 to get to that point, so I'm absolutely stoked. So thank you very much. So have a fantastic week. It's a run up to Christmas. We're doing the advent calendar on the social media platforms opening, so watch that. I'm going to try and goof around a bit and have a bit of a laugh for this next 20-ish days, whatever we've got left to do, 22 days. So yeah, have a watch of that, have a laugh. We do also have the Christmas hamper giveaway. That's on the socials as well, so get entered into that. That's about 150 quid, and we're going to draw that on the 18th of December 2024. Obviously, some people do listen to this later on, past the expiry date of the offer, but have a check out our socials at Gaslit Kent, and you'll find all the bits and pieces. Have a fantastic week, guys. Take care. Thank you.